Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Psalm 2. This is the last one. This is it. Now this is it. We're going on next Wednesday night. I got so much stuff, new stuff. This being the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible, people have been going back and digging out stuff that was written years and years ago, 400 years ago in some cases. There's a new thing out where the King James translators made a synopsis of their notes. Wow. I mean, it is heavy reading. It's one of those deals where you read a paragraph and then you go, what? And then you go back and read it again and you go, what? And you go back and read it again, you go, oh, look at that. And then you read the next paragraph and it takes you half an hour to figure it out. But just some really neat stuff is being produced, just all kinds of neat stuff that I think you'll enjoy. What I'm fighting with is making it simple. There's a lot of things that we need to know, but I don't want to bore you to tears in the process. But there's a lot of things that we need to know. I've learned so much, in the last couple of months. Just reading, I've been trying to get past Islam and get to the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible for 2 months now, and but this is it. This is the last one. All right, look at verse 1. Now, if you remember back, around May, might have been June of last year, I told you that the book of the Psalms has a great deal of prophecy connected to the second coming of Christ. And that right off the bat, in Psalm 2, we have a psalm about the Lord's second coming. And if you will read this psalm in that light, it makes a whole lot of sense. So let's look at it, please. Verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Have you heard that language in the last couple of days? I have. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet, God says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and shalt dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." What a great psalm that is. And it has to do with our Lord's return. And God has a plan. You remember we spent about a month on the fact that God has a plan. We started in Genesis chapter 3 and looked at 3:15, the proto-evangelium, the first mention of the gospel in the Bible. And we spent about a month just going over the fact that God has a plan. And now here is that plan unfolded for us again here in Psalm 2, right at the beginning of the Psalms. This psalm is set forth. And in verse 6, he said, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." And so God's plan is that his Son is going to sit upon the throne of the world, and that the world will be his footstool. The world will bow before him. Now, these nations that are right now lining up against Israel, right now the plans are being drawn. Right now, the United Nations and the Arab League are all working together, and they're trying to figure out a plan. There was an article in the Washington Times, an editorial, I think it was yesterday, and in this article it talked about how the same plan that was, or the same concept that was used as justification for going into Libya is the same plan that is now being fostered in the United Nations by the Arab League and with full support of our country, but is being used, being fostered for the United Nations to sponsor going into Israel. It's the same concept, the same idea. Now, when you dig around in it, you find out that the person who is promoting this theory or this plan is connected to the White House. This person is a woman, and she is married to the regulatory czar that was appointed by Obama. Now, this regulatory czar is the guy who writes all the regulations for all this new policy that is being forced upon America. Nothing is being voted on. Have you noticed that? Nothing is being voted on. And I would encourage you to call Congressman Bartlett's office and let them know that you are getting a little worried about the fact that nothing is being voted on. Everything is just being ruled by fiat. And the fiat is Obama. He's the one that, by executive order, and nothing's being voted on. Now, something's wrong. And here's this woman who is in the White House. She's got his ear, and she is floating this idea that the world should rise up against Israel on humanitarian purposes. And the humanitarian purpose is the fact that those poor Palestinians, now they're just being mistreated. That's what they're saying. And I'm telling you, folks, we are watching We are watching the world crumble around us. And I, you know, everybody's talking about the 2012 election. I don't think we're going to make it to 2012. And not because of the rapture. I would not be surprised if the rapture didn't happen tonight. I'm talking about America. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking that things are going spiraling out of control so rapidly and so fast that it is mind-boggling. Man, I mean, all this stuff is happening at such a pace, and it ought to stir the hearts of God's people. Let me remind you that that when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, and in chapter 4, when he was talking about the Lord coming back and rapturing the church, he ends the chapter and ends the discussion on the rapture by saying, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." All right, so when you see all these things come to pass, the Lord said, "Lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh." So that, you know, I don't tell you all these things to scare you. I tell you all these things to comfort your heart, to let you know that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming back to take us out before you have this tribulation period. All right, now let's pray real quick. Father, help us tonight and give us understanding. I pray the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and Lord, lead us and give us, I pray, a mind to hear and to understand what thus saith the Lord. So bless us now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. This weekend, there was a story. I think it didn't hit until Monday morning, but the story hit Monday morning that the Ayatollah in Iran has sent a video all over the Islamic world. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, I want to see that. And so I looked it up online, and you can look it up online, and you can watch it. And I watched it. Monday morning, I watched it. Now, in the video, they are proposing that the current unrest in the Middle East is the signal that they've been looking for. They believe that the unrest in the Middle East today is a signal that the Islamic Messiah, the 12th Imam, or the Mahdi, as he is called in the Quran and in the Hadith, that the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, is about to appear. That's the whole gist of the video. That's what it's all about. And it is being sent all over the Middle East. Well, when it hit the news here in America, it just went viral. I mean, everybody has watched it, and it is you won't have any trouble finding it on the internet. Now, the Iranian regime says that all the signs are moving into place, and of course, their proponent is that Iran is going to be the country that ushers, that will help usher in the end times. Now, that little phrase that they use, the end times, is key. That's the phrase that is used in the Quran. It does not talk about the tribulation period. It does not talk about, it doesn't call it anything else. It just calls it the end times. In the Quran and in the Hadith, which are the Quran, the words of Allah, quote unquote, and the Hadith, the words of Muhammad. And in these two documents, in these two things that they follow religiously, that's a given, that they follow religiously, the key phrase, the phrase that they use to describe what biblical eschatology calls the tribulation period, is a seven-year period, just like in the Bible, and they refer to it as the end times. That word appears over and over and over. Now, in Islamic eschatology, the end times is a specific seven-year period where the Mahdi, the Islamic Messiah, comes to a world on fire and leads Islam toward the global jihad where the world is conquered for Allah. Now, that's Islamic eschatology in a nutshell. Now, Al CNN. I don't know how many of you saw this Sunday night. Sunday night after church. I miss football. I miss football. And I had seen, I don't know. There's just some things I can't handle. And so I couldn't watch Fox. So I was sitting there doing the crossword puzzle. I'm so old. And I was sitting there doing the crossword puzzle. And so I'm flipping through the channel trying to find something I could watch. And Al CNN ran an hour-long program Sunday evening giving a sad, oh, so sad. It just broke your heart. A sad, tear-jerking picture of all the discrimination American Muslims are facing in the United States today. Yes, it was rough, but I made it through. And it was such a pathetic thing, to be honest with you, to see them parade Muslims before the camera to discuss their difficulties with being Muslims in America. I could not believe what I was watching. It was designed, the whole thing. Now, you know how CNN operates. And the whole thing was propaganda. The whole thing was political correctness. The whole thing was by design. It had an agenda. And the agenda, plainly put, was to portray these poor Muslims as just peaceful, loving people who are looking for a better life in America. And it's just such a shame that they are discriminated against in America because of their faith. Well, folks, listen, we've learned, I've read it to you out of the Quran, that they are just fulfilling what the Quran and what Muhammad in the Hadith say will happen in the end times. In order for them to execute this global jihad, they've got to be global. Now, in order for them to have a global jihad, they've got to be global. And so the jihad will, the whole purpose for the jihad is to execute Sharia law. Sharia law will become the law of the land. And sadly, again, this is during the tribulation period. This is, and specifically, in my opinion, in the last half, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. But we are already seeing in America. Now, folks, I'm not talking about Iran, and I'm not talking about the Sudan, and I'm not talking about Libya. I'm talking about the good old U.S. of A. And we are right now witnessing and reading stories about judges who are already seeing cases where Muslim communities do not want to use U.S. law and the Constitution, but where they want to use Sharia law. And in America, in the United States judicial system, there are some activist radical judges who think that they're doing the right thing here by being politically correct and by helping these poor people out. and they are taking the United States Code of Law, setting it aside, and they're making rulings and judgments based upon Sharia law. That's sad. That is sad case. Now, listen very carefully. There may be some innocent Muslims in America. And by that I mean there may be some folks who think that it's cool to be anything but a Christian, and so they've converted to Islam. There may be. I'm sure there are folks who, when they go, they're like Obama. They can sit in a church for 20 years and not hear anything that the preacher's saying. You know, I'm sure that's possible. I mean, he says that's what happened to him. There, y'all can tell I'm a little aggravated. Can y'all tell that? I'm just so frustrated with all this stuff. What is wrong with our Congress? What is wrong with our Congress? Would somebody stand up and say something? You know? We need a leader. We need somebody with a backbone that will stand up. I don't understand what is going on. I just don't get it. Now, there may be some innocents who have no idea that they are all a part of a plan by the devil to be used to usher in the Mahdi's program. There may be. But the point is, here was CNN Sunday night trying to convince America that these folks are just like us, and they just want a better life, and that we ought to all behave ourselves and support them and their religion. Now, it's funny. I have never seen CNN run a program telling America to support Christianity. And you never will see it. You won't see a show on there about how Christians are being misunderstood. Now, let me take you back to that video. That video, write this down. You can go Google it and look it up. It's called "The Coming Is Near." That's what it's called. Just Google "The Coming Is Near." And it describes current events in the Middle East as a prelude to the arrival of the Mahdi. It was produced by a group called the Conductors of the Coming. The Conductors of the Coming. Now, what's a conductor do? He steers, he guides, he pilots. And that this group is called the Conductors of the Coming. It is in connection with the Basij, which is an Iranian paramilitary force. And it's in also collaboration with the president of Iran and his office, who is Ahmadinejad. Now, you say, well, how did this come out? Well, the video was turned over to one of the newspapers. It was turned over by a CIA operative working as a double agent. And the video claims, in other words, he snuck it out and he gave it to the press. The video claims that Iran is destined, that's the word that's used, destined to rise as a great power in the last days to help defeat America and Israel and to usher in the return of the Mahdi. The whole video drives home the point that the Iranians believe the day of the Mahdi is at hand, that it's near. In the report, the journalist who was given the video said, "The Hadiths," this is the journalist, "the Hadiths have clearly described the events and the various transformations of countries in the Middle East, and also that of Iran and in the age of the coming Mahdi." He says that the invasion of Iraq was foretold by Islamic scriptures, and that the Mahdi will one day soon rule the world from Iran. Now, folks, may I remind you that Ahmadinejad has said on two occasions in a very public forum, once at the United Nations, that the Mahdi is already here and that he has had dinner with him twice. You say, is that true? I don't know. He sure believes it. Louis Farrakhan, who is the head of the Nation of Islam here in America. Louis Farrakhan said just a week and a half ago that the Mahdi is coming very soon. The Shia Muslims, remember, believe that if they go ahead and start the jihad and bring terror and create as much upheaval and chaos and revolution in the world, that it will hasten the coming of the Mahdi. That's what the Shia believe. Nope, make no mistake, folks. That is what all of this trouble is in the Middle East today. It is Shia-backed. It make no mistake about it. It is designed to create chaos in the Middle East, and it's working. And it has all been designed and created and hatched in Tehran. And this video claims that the ongoing upheaval in the Middle Eastern countries like Yemen and Bahrain and Syria and Egypt and Jordan and Libya, all the rest, are signs of the soon coming of the Mahdi. It claims that the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood is a sure sign, as well as the failing health of King Abdullah in Saudi Arabia. That's all on the video. You'll see it if you watch it. Now, why do they care about the king of Saudi Arabia? Because he's Sunni. He's not Shia. And he is a friend to America because he sells his oil to us and we give him bunches of airplanes. And not just airplanes, airplanes with jet motors on them and these huge bombs. And Saudi Arabia is very well armed, very well. And they hate King Abdullah because he will not bow to Tehran. And they hate him with a passion. They just hate him. And so they claim that the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood, which, also in the newspapers, I think it was in the USA Today, Monday or Tuesday, that the party that is leading in the Gallup poll in Egypt is the Muslim Brotherhood. Oh yeah, let's get rid of Mubarak, and Mubarak's got to go. And look who takes over. And now we're getting rid of Gaddafi. And so now the big debate in the UN today was, is America going to arm the rebels? Are we going to arm the rebels? Now, yesterday, before Congress, one of our generals made the announcement that many of the men who are in Libya fighting for the rebels are men that our troops fought in Afghanistan. Funny how that didn't get reported. But that's what the general said. Something's going on, folks. Something is amiss. Now, it's amazing. All right, think of this. 1948. All right, what happened in 1948? Israel became a nation. All right. For 62 years now, there's been a relative calm in the Middle East. Oh, yeah, they tried to, you know, when Israel declared themselves a state, they tried, and boy, Israel just busted them. I mean, in a week, and it was over. And there's been a few other skirmishes along the way. Jordan stood up once, and then they got knocked down. And Syria has raised their ugly heads a few times, and Israel smacked them back into place. And then Egypt tried it again, and they whooped them again. And then, I mean, and we have so now stockpiled Israel. They've known this day was coming. They've known this day was coming. And by the way, Israel has nuclear power. Isn't that strange? They have nuclear power. All right? Why is it? Think of this. Why is it for 60 years there's been relative calm? These same nations, Libya, Jordan, Syria, Egypt, the ones that are on fire today, have all had harsh, evil, violent dictators through the decades. They've all had evil men running their government. So why, all of a sudden now, are these nations rising up against their governments? That does not just happen naturally. Something has stirred this revolt. And I think it's all a part. I think it's all a part of a plan. And I think that what we need to realize is that we should not lose sight of the bigger plan. Folks, understand this. Men are not calling the shots. God is. God is calling the shots. And don't forget, God has a plan. Biblical eschatology has the nations lining up to destroy Israel. We have spent the last year looking at all the prophets and seeing their vision of the end times. Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea and Joel and David and Zechariah and Amos and Nahum and all the rest, all the prophets, they all saw a coalition of nations rising up and coming as one to do battle against Israel. And the point that I have been making for the last year and a half is that Islam, or year and a month, is that Islam has an eschatology, and in that eschatology, they see the Mahdi coming in the end times to lead them to conquer the world for Allah. And they see Jerusalem conquered and the Jews driven into the sea. In their eschatology, they reclaim Israel for Allah, for Baal. Now, we also need to understand that for the last 15 years or so, this eschatology has been preached every Friday in the mosques around the world. It is the subject. It is the subject. For the last 15 years, every Friday when they go to the mosque, this is the message that is heard. Some aspect of the end times and the coming of the Mahdi and world jihad. You come here on Sunday and I preach to you on salvation, or I preach to you on the Christian life, on soul winning, on prayer, on being like Jesus. I preach to you on how to deal with problems and give you a Bible a way to deal with them. I take a passage of Scripture about Jesus, or a passage of Scripture about God, and I try to share that with you to help you, to strengthen you, to enable you to get victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Have you read the Quran? Islam does not have that. That's not a part of the Quran. It's not a part of the teaching. Islam does not have any of this kind of teaching. The Quran is filled with hate. It's filled with violence. It's filled with murder. It's it dogmatically tells the Islamist that anyone who is not a Muslim is an enemy of Allah. And if he will not submit, you cut off his head. In the Quran, there are things mentioned here and there, and passages are pulled out of it from which they have used as the foundation for Sharia law. Such things as, coming right out of the Quran, if someone steals, cut off his hands. You cut off his hands, he can't pick nothing up and steal it the next time. Or if a woman is raped, and she tells, she better have 4 witnesses to that rape. 4. And if she can't produce 4 witnesses, then they'll take her out and stone her. You say, that's ridiculous. I know. It's in the Quran. And it's a part of Sharia law. You know what Sharia law says? It says that if someone denounces Islam, you cut off their head. You cut off their head. If your wife gets out of line, you can beat her. And if she won't get in line, you can kill her. Now, since the other material in the Quran, it's all eschatology. It's all about the end times. It is the promise of Islamic rule, Sharia law, and Muslims who have never had anything but poverty and violence ruling over the world. And for years now, the messages from the imams is a message of the coming glory of Islam under the Mahdi. That's the preaching. That's what's being preached. The coming glory. Oh, there is no glory now. There is no glory now. You've seen the scenes. There is no glory right now. The poor people have nothing. They have nothing. But what's being preached is the coming glory. And man, they're excited about it. They're excited about it. And now, since 2009, the Middle East has been slowly boiling to the point where now it's ready to explode. And it is because the plan and the program of God is coming together. Folks, we're here. The Shia Muslims are stirring the Middle East, and hour by hour, day by day, the more they stir it, the closer is getting the coming of our Lord. Do not believe for a minute what the media is reporting about this revolution. CNN and MSNBC and ABC and CBS and NBC and all the rest, they're all trying their best to convince America that the countries in the Middle East are just poor, deprived people who are crying out for democracy and freedom. I mean, Monday, Joe Lieberman, the guy that ran for vice president with, what's his name? Lurch. Wasn't it him? Wasn't it John Kerry? Kerry, huh? Gore Lieberman? I don't know. Well, anyway, he just retired from the Senate. Lieberman, they are interviewing him on Fox. And he was just spilling out the political correct stuff. I mean, you know, yeah, boy, these people, you know, bless their hearts. They're trying. They just want freedom. They're just tired of being oppressed. And the reporter was saying, well, now what about the reports that that some of these guys, these rebels, are Al Qaeda? Well, now, you know, there's just no real proof about that, and blah 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 blah. And then he got down to the end. The reporter was wanting to go. Lieberman had one more point to make. One more point. He said, before you go, he said, let me just say once again, let me just make sure that everybody understands that these people marching and rioting against the regimes are good, hardworking, peaceful folks who are just looking for freedom and democracy. It's no wonder we're in a mess. I mean, when you can't even recognize the guy that's got the knife to your throat is your enemy. I mean, we're in trouble. No, they're not just innocent, hardworking, peaceful folks looking for freedom and democracy. This is a concentrated, designed, planned strategy that started 2 years ago when Obama went to Cairo and held hands with the Imams, with the Muslim Brotherhood, trashed America, apologized for America, stood there holding hands with them, singing Kumbaya with the English Brotherhood. Planned. Planned. And you mark my word, he's in this up to his eyeballs. You mark my word. I haven't figured it out yet. I haven't figured out how, and I'm afraid to say too much about it, afraid I'll get arrested, but he's a part of this plan somehow. We were talking about it last night in the board meeting, and I said, boys, listen, you don't change your name from Barry to Barack without having something in your heart. And isn't it funny? We're lining up with the enemy now against our ally, Israel. Something in the milk ain't clean. Now, our congressman needs a call. I hope you'll call him tomorrow. Listen, I've said it before. I'll say it again. We're in trouble. Now look at Psalm 2. You didn't think I'd ever get there, did you? Look at Psalm 2. I didn't think I'd ever get there, to be honest with you. Hey, folks, remember, the Lord Jesus said that David was a prophet. Our Lord said that. He said David was a prophet. And it's amazing how many of the Psalms have a prophetic element to them. Right off the bat, Psalm 2, we see a prophetic psalm about the day the Lord returns to do battle with the nations. And in the psalm, Jesus wins. All right, a warning. A warning. Hey, nations, look at verse 10. Be wise. You better wise up, boys. Better wise up, kings. You better wise up. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice. Kiss the Son. Instead of shaking your fist at him, you better fall down on your feet, on your face and kiss his feet. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish. All right, flip over to Psalm 9. Look at Psalm 9. Again, the theme. Look at verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk low in the pit that they made. In the net which is hid, which they hid, is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the what? Judgment which he what? Executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higaon Selah. Hegeion, it just means that means like meditation. Meditate on this. All right, and Selah means think about it. Just think about it. All right, look at verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. All the nations. Look at 10, chapter 10, Psalm 10. Look at verse 15. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Look at Psalm 12. Here in 12, he's talking about about God, about judgment, about how there are good people and there are wicked people and all the nations, et cetera, et cetera. Then in verse 12, or chapter 12, he starts talking about the Bible and in connection with this. Look here. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful man from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Wow. Wow. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. King James translators, for puffeth, they knew that wouldn't be a word we'd use all the time, and they said, would ensnare him. And God says, I will set him in safety. Israel is going to be protected by God. From these nations, there will be a lot of them die, I'm afraid, but they will not be destroyed. Verse 6, what's our foundation for believing all this? The words of the Lord are pure words. There's your foundation right there. This book right here. This Bible, it's faithful and true. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And finally, look at 14. Here's another warning. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Wow. Wow. All right, look at 24 and I'll be done. Look at 24. Here's the Psalm 22 is about the first coming. In Psalm 22, you'll read it when you get home, and he talks about Christ on the cross. Talks about Jesus on the cross, first coming. Psalm 23 is comfort for us today, since Christ has come. And then Psalm 24, that's Christ's second coming. So Psalm 23, probably the most famous of all the Psalms, is comfort for us between the comings. See that? But look at 24. The earth is the Lord's. It's not Allah's. It's the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Allah? No way. The one that's going to stand is he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Think about it. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? And the answer, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And again, who is this King of glory? And the answer, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. That's God's plan, folks. That's God's plan. Now, which one are you going to go with? I'm going to go with God's plan. I'm going to go with God's. Make no mistake about it. The King of glory wins and the devil is defeated. Thank God we're on the winning side.